This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
The White House tries again. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, on this Friday, October 29th. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
President Biden has unveiled his latest proposal to grow the country's social safety net and tackle climate issues. It's not clear if progressives are on board.
Facebook and Instagram now fall under the umbrella of a parent company called Meta, short for Meta Platforms.
Former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo has been charged with a misdemeanor sexual misconduct complaint in Albany County.
And the new job created by pandemic rules and restrictions, COVID bouncer.
We've all sort of gotten into the habit of pulling out our vaccine cards or our vaccine cards on our apps and sitting there and showing it to someone to prove that we are in fact vaccinated. And this is actually a new job requirement that the industry, the live events industry, has had to grapple with.
Megan Lenhart at Fortune on cities, banquet halls, and even individual hosts requiring proof of vaccine from guests. President Biden has presented his latest offer to Congress on his plan to expand safety net and climate change programs. The plan, with a price tag now of about $1.85 trillion, would provide free preschool, expand Medicare coverage to cover hearing, and raise Pell Grants to help offset college tuition. Mr. Biden met with House Democrats yesterday to sell the plan. The new framework also would impose a minimum 15% tax on corporations and new levies on high-earning Americans.
I don't want to punish anyone's success. I'm a capitalist. I want everyone to be able to, if they want to be a millionaire or billionaire, to be able to seek their goal. But all I'm asking is pay your fair share.
Does not include several key programs Mr. Biden and congressional progressives have been pushing for, such as free community college and paid family leave. Liberals in the House say they want to see details before they commit to supporting separate infrastructure spending. President Biden's pitch for this $1.85 trillion social spending and climate plan to Democrats has been heavily slimmed down. It's still a huge bill, but it's half the size of the $3.5 trillion package envisioned in the Democrats' budget resolution. After paid leave, drug pricing, and expanding Medicare to cover dental and vision were left out, here's a look at what's still in the framework from Alex Gangitano, White House reporter at The Hill. Alex, where are we?
So the president's pitching, as we know, the $1.75 trillion social spending package. And of course, that's heavily slimmed down from the $3.5 trillion package that Democrats wanted. But there's still a lot that's left in the bill after concessions were made from weeks of negotiations with moderate and progressive Democrats. So what we're seeing so far that's still in the bill is an expansion of healthcare coverage. So that would basically reduce premiums for over 9 million Americans by an average of about $600 per person annually. And that's according to how the White House broke it down for us. So essentially this expands coverage by offering 4 years of subsidized private health insurance on the Affordable Care Act exchanges for people with lower incomes. So that's a big part of, you know, this healthcare push that was in it, because a lot of healthcare provisions were actually cut, like Medicare for dental and vision. So this is some funding that remained in the bill for healthcare. Also for lower income Americans, the framework includes $150 billion in investments for affordable housing. And then the child tax credit, which is a huge thing that President Biden has been pushing for months. It was included in the American Rescue Plan, and this basically makes it extended through 2022. There's a bit of a concession there because Democrats in the White House wanted to make this permanent, but this makes it last, you know, until next year. And basically the program provides $300 a month per child under six and $250 a month for children between 6 and 17 to low-wage workers. So that's another thing that I think the president is happy about, that it still remains in the bill.
Yeah. We're speaking with Alex Gangitano, White House reporter at The Hill. She's written about what's still in the Biden framework. $100 billion for immigration. What would that go toward?
Yeah, so this is a big one to get something about immigration in the bill. So the framework includes this $100 billion, which would reduce immigration backlogs and expand legal representation and improve asylum and border processing. So it wouldn't fully overhaul the system or provide any sort of path to citizenship because of the ruling from the Senate parliamentarian. And basically the parliamentarian decides if things are germane or basically can't be in a budget bill or not. And she has said that things like a pathway to citizenship cannot be passed in a budget bill. And so she still will need to sign off on this immigration language that's in the framework right now, but it's definitely scaled down that I think Democrats are hopeful that this could be approved so they could have some sort of funding for this immigration backlog system that we have here. Mm.
Finish up with free preschool.
Yeah, so this is another favorite of the president. We hear him talking about this a lot, to make universal free preschool for all 3 to 4 year olds. And that includes 6 million children, according to the White House. So this is $400 billion in funding that they say will be enough for 6 years of funding, that basically every 3 and 4 year old gets free preschool. And then it also will limit childcare costs for families, low-income families that are basically earning less than the state medium income, but they're working parents or seeking work or in training or have a serious health issue. All of those would qualify you to get some of the funding here for childcare.
Thanks, Alex. Alex Gangitano, White House reporter at The Hill. The Albany County Sheriff's Office has filed a criminal complaint against former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, alleging he forcibly touched a former executive assistant. Albany County Sheriff Craig Apple said a summons was issued to Mr. Cuomo to appear on November 17th. It's a misdemeanor charge. The charge was made public before the victim and district attorney were notified. Attorney Gloria Allred represents 3 Cuomo accusers.
It doesn't help the prosecutor to have it rolled out in this way. And it also doesn't help the alleged victim.
The sheriff's office said it's been investigating the 63-year-old Mr. Cuomo since Brittany Commisso, one of Mr. Cuomo's former executive assistants, told investigators Mr. Cuomo reached under her blouse and groped her during a 2020 encounter at the state executive mansion in Albany. He denies it. Mr. Cuomo resigned from office 2 months ago in the wake of the allegations by 11 women.
This is a metaphor for your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like you're going 100 miles an hour, barely keeping up. But to cruise through challenges, you need someone who's right there with you. That's what Dell Technologies Advisors do. They have the Windows PCs and tech advice you need to get past whatever's in front of you and get where you want to go. Call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. A start to a simpler experience with Windows 11 Pro.
Thanks for being with us. Facebook has a new parent company. It's called Meta. A rebrand that focuses on building the metaverse, a shared virtual environment that the company expects to be the successor to the mobile internet. The name change comes as the world's largest social media company battles criticisms from lawmakers and regulators over its market power, algorithmic decisions, and the policing of abuses on its services. Meta Platforms, as it's officially known, also includes Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, and other products. CEO Mark Zuckerberg made the announcement yesterday at the company's live-streamed virtual and augmented reality conference.
It is time for us to adopt a new company brand to encompass everything that we do, to reflect who we are and what we hope to build.
A new sign at its headquarters in Menlo Park, California, replaces its thumbs up logo with a blue infinity shape. The company will trade under the ticker symbol MVRS. This portion of the program is brought to you by Stamps.com.
Do you sell stuff online? Well, then you know that shipping can be a real pain. Stamps.com takes all the hassle and guesswork out of shipping. You get all the best carriers, all the best rates, all in one convenient place, so you can comparison shop right online. Stamps.com gives you access to a wide range, too, of deeply discounted shipping options. For over 20 years, Stamps.com has helped over a million businesses save time and money on shipping. Stamps.com integrates with the most popular online marketplaces and shopping carts, including Amazon, Etsy, Shopify, and eBay. All you have to do is print the shipping labels and stick them to your packages. Once your packages are ready, just schedule a pickup or drop them off. No traffic, no lines. It's all done online at stamps.com. Start shipping and saving today. And with my promo code Gordon, you get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital shipping scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Plus, stamps.com's award-winning U.S.-based shipping support team is ready to help. Just visit stamps.com, click the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in Gordon. That's stamps.com, promo code Gordon. Stamps.com, easy e-commerce shipping for a lot less. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is striking an optimistic tone after she was forced to delay a planned vote on the bipartisan infrastructure bill last night, asserting in a letter to colleagues that most progressive lawmakers who opposed her timeline are still committed to backing the legislation. She wrote that despite the postponement, most members who were not prepared for a yes vote have expressed their commitment to support the BIF. President Biden commented on the bill's status before leaving for Europe yesterday.
If you look at the history of the journey of this nation, what becomes crystal clear is this. I'll say it again. Given half a chance, the American people have never, ever, ever, ever let the country down. So let's get this done.
Number two.
Now in Rome, President Biden will meet with Pope Francis today at the Vatican, where the world's two most notable Roman Catholics plan to discuss the pandemic, climate change, and poverty. The president takes pride in his Catholic faith, using it as a moral guidepost to shape many of his policies, but his support of abortion rights and same-sex marriage has put him at odds with many U.S. bishops who want to deny him communion.
Number three.
Top executives of ExxonMobil and other oil giants denied spreading disinformation about climate change as they sparred with congressional Democrats yesterday over allegations that the industry concealed evidence about the dangers of global warming. Democratic Congresswoman Carolyn Maloney of New York.
The industry ran a coordinated campaign to mislead the public, hide the dangers of its own product, and derail global efforts to reduce greenhouse emissions.
Maloney said at the end of the nearly seven-hour hearing that she will issue subpoenas for documents requested by the committee but not furnished by the oil companies.
End zone and picked off! Intercepted by Rasul Douglas! And the Packers are going to win it!
Joe Buck with a call on Fox as an interception with 15 seconds left robbed Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals of a game-winning opportunity and dealt them their first loss of the season as the Green Bay Packers escaped with a 24-21 victory last night. Both teams now 7-1.
Packers right now are just finding a way to get it done.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
The return of weddings, concerts, and indoor events has created a new job, the COVID bouncer. Beyond specific municipal mandates, like in places like New York, many venues and even individual hosts are requiring vaccines from guests. More from Megan Lenhart, writer at Fortune.com. Megan, what are we seeing?
Well, I think if anyone's been to an event over the past couple of months, certainly weddings, live events, concerts, we've all sort of gotten into the habit of pulling out our vaccine cards or our vaccine cards on our apps and sitting there and showing it to someone to prove that we are in fact vaccinated. And this is actually a new job requirement that the industry, the live events industry, has had to grapple with as the different regulations and rules have started to shift and come into real effect here. So, of course, we do know that places like New York City, San Francisco really do have pretty strict protocols. But even in places that don't necessarily have local mandates, local rules in place, you do have a lot of hosts of these events wanting to sit there and make sure that they're providing a safe, fun experience for the guest. And so this falls on a number of folks to make this happen, not only event planners, but security personnel, and even sometimes venue managers are being asked to essentially be the bouncer at the door checking COVID verification, not only when it comes to the vaccines, but sometimes even tests too.
Wow. All right. We're speaking with Megan Lenhart, writer at Fortune.com. Her piece is called Meet the Latest Pandemic Job, the COVID Bouncer. So it's conceivable, I guess, you plan a wedding. You may also have to budget in hiring a small security team?
You may. In fact, a lot of the wedding planners and event planners that I spoke with for the piece said that not only are they hiring staff, but they're also sometimes working hand in hand with security personnel to make sure that it's not just an assistant standing at the door with, you know, little to no authority saying, actually, you can't come in. But thankfully, most of the folks that I spoke with did say that this has not been too much of a problem. It sounds like people are very aware of the expectations going in. Fortunately, events, unlike restaurants, are pre-invitation. So you sort of know what the protocols are going in, as opposed to happen, you know, I want to go out for dinner and then forgetting your vaccine card. Yep. So this is definitely something that is top of mind. But it also, yes, to your point, can increase cost of events. For some planners, certainly, you know, if they're having an event or a wedding, for example, that was supposed to be in 2020 and now it's been pushed back, maybe the cost might need to be a little bit more negotiated. But for new contracts, this is certainly something that you should expect to be paying a little bit more for.
Thanks, Megan. Megan Lenhart, writer at Fortune.com. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. No matter what kind of wireless plan you have from any of the big wireless providers, they've all got one thing in common: the catch. The part where too good to be true has too many extra charges to be worth it. But Mint Mobile figured it out. They offer premium wireless service starting at just $15 a month. What's the catch? There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is they only sell wireless service online. No retail overhead saves them and you a lot of money. You can also keep your number and your phone, no losing your existing contacts, and get unlimited talk, text, and high-speed data on the nation's largest 5G network, again, for as low as $15 a month. And if you're not 100% satisfied, Mint Mobile has you covered with their 7-day money-back guarantee. To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month and get the plan shipped to your door for free, go to mintmobile.com/Gordon. That's mintmobile.com/Gordon. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/Gordon.
Taking the day's information and helping you make sense of it all. We're here for you every morning. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Friday, October 29. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. President Biden rolls out his newest social safety net proposal. Wall Street Journal says the Biden administration could offer immigrant families separated during the Trump administration around $450,000 a person in compensation. Lower than expected earnings for Amazon despite a $3.2 billion third quarter profit. A walk-off interception helps the Packers over the Cardinals last night. World Series resumes tonight. And the country music star who helped a stranger with a flat tire. That story in about 20 minutes. This portion of the program is brought to you by Lightstream. Apply today for a fixed-rate credit card consolidation loan, and you could save thousands in interest. Go to lightstream.com/deal. San Francisco could learn something from Columbus, Ohio.
It's a fairly simple concept. Though the Bay Area boasts abundant jobs, housing for the people to fill those jobs is not affordable. In Columbus, however, affordable housing can be found within a reasonable distance from the city's largest job hubs. More from Ben Wink, economy reporter at Insider. Ben, explain.
This is a concept that isn't new to the pandemic economy. It's the wonky term for it is spatial mismatch. And really what that means is when there aren't affordable housing options in job hubs, right? If you don't have a job, you probably can't afford a home. If you don't have a home, you can't work, or you can't work nearby. And so that's been exacerbated throughout the pandemic because we've seen obviously home prices skyrocketing. And people aren't taking jobs at the rate that we thought they would. And we've been calling that the labor shortage now. And so there's been this rethink around, where do we have our jobs and why are they in these areas where housing isn't affordable? And people who can't afford the expense of housing there aren't able to go in and work those jobs, especially, lower paying service jobs that were hammered at the start of the pandemic and lockdowns. Mm.
One of the examples you gave, you opened up with San Francisco. Do a for example there.
Yeah, so with San Francisco, I mean, that's the classic example of where housing has just gone through the roof because of Silicon Valley and all the tech companies kind of settling out down around that area. It's incredibly expensive to live anywhere really in the Bay Area. Yet there's such a need for jobs or people to work jobs. And relatively low-paying ones, so the people who need to take those jobs or they can't afford to live nearby. But we've seen, this can be solved in other cities. We've seen, like I said in the story, in Columbus, Ohio, there are areas where housing is more affordable. And whether it's through public transportation programs or just sheer proximity, people can afford to live in areas where there are more enticing job prospects.
Mm. We're speaking with Ben Wink, economy reporter at Insider. His piece is called "The Housing Crisis and the Labor Shortage Are Linked. People can't take jobs if there aren't affordable homes nearby." You said fixing the housing market could be the best bet here. How? What would happen in that scenario?
So the plain way to do it is to just increase inventory, right? We saw inventory hit record lows earlier in the pandemic. And it really is as simple as just so much demand for homes, especially as millennials are entering their peak home buying years, but not enough homes to go around. And so you have people butting heads and getting into bidding wars over what homes they can find. And that's driving prices through the roof. And so by investing in areas where, on one hand, so you can invest in areas where housing is more affordable, bring more private investment over there, even public investment, government jobs into those neighborhoods. That can help ease the pressure where so many jobs are in areas that are just not affordable. On the other hand, you can bring affordable housing into cities, into these big job hubs. That can look like more homes. It can look like denser apartment buildings. It can even look like upzoning in some areas that were once for single family homes. Maybe add a duplex in the backyard. It can be as simple as that. And that's something we're starting to see in California and some other areas.
You cited a stat in your story too. California cities suffer a 2 percentage point drop in employment growth for every one unit increase in the Fed's housing affordability ratio. Can you put that into like layman's terms?
Yeah. So, when housing gets unaffordable, when people can't afford to live in an area, that's going to hamper job growth because the employees or the available workers just aren't there to fill roles. And so if you don't have enough people working at local businesses, you don't have enough people able to keep the local economy thriving, that really slows down and hits the health of the local economy. And that can start to spiral, right? People move out. That's going to hit home values. More people move out because the local economy isn't as prosperous as it once was. And so, it really does start with housing. If people can't afford to live there and can't afford to build a life there, then the prospects for the entire local economy can really dwindle.
Thanks, Ben. Ben Wink, economy reporter at Insider. Meanwhile, the U.S. economy grew at the slowest pace since the middle of last year, 2% in the third quarter, but economists expect strong consumer demand and an easing pandemic to boost growth in the coming months despite lingering supply constraints. Coming up next, the mic drop.
Today's mic drop is brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Hey, thanks for being with us. Welcome into Friday. Time now for the mic drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, it's been a busy 24 hours for social media mockery and memes. Let's start with Facebook, which, as you've heard, has changed its company name to Meta. You can imagine that this announcement from Mark Zuckerberg yesterday was met with a healthy dose of skepticism and joking. For starters, it wasn't lost on many people how close Meta is to metastasizing, a word often associated with cancer, which Facebook's critics thought was a perfect word to associate with the company. There were also a few Mean Girls memes flying around with users imploring Zuckerberg to stop trying to make Meta happen. And and quick-thinking rivals and other corporations couldn't wait to pile on either. Twitter posted a fake announcement tweeting, "Big news! LOL, JK, still Twitter." Hulu chimed in, tweeting, "Hello, we are still Hulu." And Wendy's went so far as to change their Twitter name from Wendy's to Meat and simply tweeted, "Changing name to Meat."
Oh.
That's it.
Which includes the letters.
That's the tweet, Gordon.
Which includes the letters for Meta.
Right.
If you switch around Meat.
Right. Yes.
I don't know
if
that was part of the thinking or not.
I'm sure it was.
Very clever.
Though I was lost on me the first time I looked at it. But yes, you were correct.
There's somebody else, I think, on Twitter wrote, "I never Meta worse."
Yes.
Brand change or something like that.
Right.
Everything with Meta, right?
That was another popular one as well. And he wound up throwing a touchdown pass on the play, and his team won the game, but that didn't stop Aaron Rodgers from becoming a meme for getting pummeled during Thursday Night Football. In the third quarter, Rodgers put the Packers up 17-7 with a touchdown pass to Randall Cobb, but just after he threw the ball, he took a big late hit and fell to the ground, resulting in an image captured by Fox TV cameras that will likely be used online for years to come. In the pic, Rodgers is seen lying on his side with a shell-shocked expression, eyes and mouth wide open, with his chin strap over his nose. Mm. The pic was widely circulated with jokes flying from everywhere. Even Rodgers laughed at it, which was a lot easier because the Packers won the game. Rodgers conceded after the game what we already knew, that the internet is undefeated. I mean, it took, you know, all of like a minute and a half, right, for that to become just like the biggest thing of the night.
I presume that he was asked about this in the post-game news conference.
Of course.
That's how he reacted, I guess?
Of course. And again,
it's
we can
so fast these days.
We can laugh about it now because he won the game. But, you know, you don't often see, a quarterback take a hit like that and have the chin strap, dislodged from their chin and over their nose.
His helmet was halfway off.
Yeah.
And I think what made it funnier was that you could only see his bottom teeth, like as part of the expression that he had on his face.
Right. You can just see his eyes and his mouth basically wide open with the chin strap in the middle over his nose, which must have smelled great, I'm sure.
Right. Well, he's laughing now.
Yes,
because the Packers are rolling.
They are.
Thank you, Mike. For a while, letting your facial hair go was the in thing to do, but what seemed like a good idea indoors isn't panning out in the heat, is it? Time to get back to shaving again. If one of the reasons you didn't miss shaving is the ridiculous price of blades, then you need to know about Harry's. And if you have known about Harry's and haven't tried them yet, now's the time. When I got my first Harry's starter set, I felt the difference right away. The 5-blade razor, along with the weighted handle, made getting an amazingly close shave effortless. The foaming shave gel with aloe is excellent too. The starter set comes with all that, plus a travel case, and right now, at a great deal. There's never been a better time to try Harry's. Visit harrys.com/deal to get their starter set for just $3. It's 100% satisfaction guaranteed. You've got nothing to lose. Go to harrys.com right now to get this special offer. That's Harrys. harrys.com/deal. Thanks for spending time with us. Don't forget to check out a podcast of the program. You can find it on our website, thismorningwithgordondeal.com, or on all the popular podcast platforms. As Halloween approaches, how old is too old to trick or treat? A mother of a 4-year-old in Holly Springs, Georgia, told Yahoo Life that some may think high schoolers are too old to be trick or treating, but she disagrees. She points to the alternatives, saying the older kids could be out doing God knows what. She says if they still want to trick or treat, that's fine. A mom in Freehold, New Jersey agrees, but with a caveat. She says as long as kids are respectful and appropriate, she's okay with high schoolers trick or treating. She also sees it as an opportunity to set a good example for younger kids who are out. So no swearing, be kind, no more than one piece of candy per house, and of course, still use please and thank you. A father of two from Georgetown, Kentucky says Halloween can be a transition
with older kids being the ones to hand out candy to the younger ones. He suggests it's possible that becoming a parent is the true Halloween cutoff, as that's when you switch gears, preparing to help your children. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
President Biden announced Thursday that he and Democrats in Congress have reached a historic framework for his sweeping domestic policy package, but he still needs to lock down votes from key colleagues for what's now a dramatically scaled back bill. Democratic Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal of Washington.
We are not giving up the fight for anything that we said we wanted. Not a thing. We will fight like heck. You've seen how we fought here for this, and we will continue that fight. And I believe the president is with us.
Paid family leave and efforts to lower prescription drug pricing are now gone from the package. Still in the mix, free pre-kindergarten, expanded health care programs, and $555 billion to tackle climate change.
Number two.
An American Airlines flight from New York City to Orange County, California was diverted to Denver on Wednesday after a passenger allegedly assaulted a flight attendant, company CEO Doug Parker.
We had one of the worst displays of unruly behavior we've ever witnessed when a passenger violently, physically assaulted an American Airlines flight attendant.
One witness said the flight attendant had blood splattered on the outside of her mask after being struck in the face. The suspect was arrested in Denver.
Number three.
Former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo has been charged with a misdemeanor sex crime complaint that alleges he forcibly touched a woman last December in the governor's mansion in Albany. The filing comes 2 months after Cuomo resigned in disgrace following accusations of sexual harassment against the three-term Democrat by nearly a dozen women. If convicted, Cuomo faces up to a year in prison. Joel Quenneville has resigned as coach of the Florida Panthers 2 days after the second winningest coach in NHL history was among those implicated for not swiftly responding to allegations by a Chicago Blackhawks player of being sexually assaulted by another coach during the 2010 Stanley Cup playoffs. The announcement was made shortly after Quenneville met yesterday with NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman in New York. Fun size is out, full size is in. With this year's Halloween celebration expected to be bigger than ever, candy retailers and manufacturers say the full size trend is definitely real. The National Retail Federation expects Halloween spending to reach a record $10.14 billion this year. On an individual level, consumer spending is expected to reach $102.74, the first time the figure has crossed the triple-digit territory.
Of course it did. I'd rather the bite size. The fun size, you know, just requires a lot more working out to burn that stuff off these days. Metabolism isn't the same. Just not the same.
This is a metaphor for your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like the course keeps changing right before your eyes. And in order to maneuver it, you need an expert by your side. That's what Dell Technologies Advisors do. They have the Windows PC and tech solutions you need to help you get out in front and stay ahead of the game. Call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. A start to a simpler experience with Windows 11 Pro.
Thanks for being with us. Country star Luke Bryan played mechanic this week when he saw a woman with a flat tire on the side of the road in Tennessee. Courtney Potts posted on TikTok, "When my tire blew, who stopped to help?" In all caps, she wrote, "Luke Bryan." The mom of two shared a video on social media showing Mr. Bryan kneeling on the ground, changing her flat. Ms. Potts told local TV affiliate WKRN she was on her way to her parents' house when the tire blew. Once she pulled over to the side of the road in Columbia, south of Nashville, a pickup truck driven by Mr. Bryan pulled over. He got out and said, "Hey, this is a really bad road. We got to get you out of this curve." Ms. Potts said she tried to be cool in front of Mr. Bryan. He was done changing the tire in about 30 minutes. The country star, also a judge on American Idol, took a photo with Ms. Potts and her daughter Ellie. Her TikTok video, by the way, received over 4 million views in just 2 days. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.